There are reports that the United States is delaying a deal to remove tariffs on UK steel and aluminium amid concerns over threats to trigger Article 16 of the Northern Ireland Protocol. According to the Financial Times, talks with the UK on easing metal tariffs have stalled because of Brexit concerns. The leaders of Sinn Féin and the Ulster Unionist Party are currently in Washington to discuss the Northern Ireland Protocol with US officials. Telling us more, our Washington correspondent Brian O'Donovan.
Well, this is a report in the Financial Times newspaper which claims that the US is delaying a deal to remove Trump-era tariffs on UK steel and aluminium amid concerns about these threats by the UK to trigger Article 16 of the Northern Ireland Protocol. Now, the story is based on a communication seen by the Financial Times in which a US Commerce Department official says the talks on easing metal tariffs could not move ahead. The paper is also reporting that the trade tariff talks have stalled because of pressure from the US Congress. Now, perhaps we shouldn't be too surprised by all of this, given that senior members of Congress and senior members of the US administration have been warning for some time about threats to the protocol. And yesterday, the Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald was on Capitol Hill meeting with many of those same senior members of Congress. She's here in the US for a few days and will travel to New York later today to deliver an address on Brexit. Now, at her meeting in Washington yesterday, she said she raised issues of concern relating to the triggering of Article 16 and also concerns about proposal for an amnesty for troubles-related legacy issues. We spoke to Mary Lou MacDonald after her meetings and she said she felt very reassured when it comes to US support for the agreement and for protecting Irish interests.
I've had very fruitful, very important conversations with senior figures in the Senate, in Congress and with the administration. And the message is loud and clear that internationally people stand by. Internationally, nobody wants to see an amnesty. Everybody wants to see all victims of the conflict treated fairly and within the law. And finally, there is a conversation live now in respect of Irish reunification, the holding of referendums, but more importantly, again, the need to prepare for change.
The leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Doug Beattie, is also in Washington right now, Brian. Who's he been meeting with and what's been the focus of the discussions?
Yeah, what of a strange coincidence that Doug Beattie of the Ulster Unionist Party is in Washington at exactly the same time as Mary Lou MacDonald. And in fact, he was on Capitol Hill yesterday as well, meeting with some of those same people just a few hours apart. Doug Beattie told me last night that he felt it was very important to come to Washington to reach out, to find friends beyond Irish shores, he said, and to portray unionism in a positive light with less negativity, less pessimism. He said he wanted to get the unionist view across here in the US, particularly when it comes to those big issues like the Northern Ireland Protocol. Now, he said that the protocol had created a feast or a famine for businesses in Northern Ireland. Some were doing well, yes, he said, but others were left struggling to survive. He said that he told US officials in his meetings that the protocol does not protect the Good Friday Agreement, but rather damages the fine balance that had been negotiated. He also defended the triggering of Article 16, saying this could be done in a narrow, focused way to address specific issues. Now, Doug Beattie did admit that when it comes to courting US support, Sinn Féin and nationalism have been far better at it over the years, but he said this is something that he wants to address.
We can't blame people in the US if they don't understand the message that we're trying to say or the concerns that we want to raise, because we're the ones who haven't been engaging. And absolutely, Sinn Féin and nationalism have been far better at it than we have. So that's not their fault either. It's our fault. And I accept that. But this is a start of a process. I intend to come to the United States at least twice a year to engage and outline the problems and the concerns and what we can do to make Northern Ireland a better place, remaining within the United Kingdom, and address some of the problems and the misconceptions about things such as the protocol.
Meanwhile, as politicians were meeting on Capitol Hill, across the street at the US Supreme Court, Brian, a major abortion case was being heard. And this could have big implications for abortion access across the United States.
Absolutely, Gavin. This was seen as the most significant abortion case in the US in decades. The court was examining a 2018 law in the southern state of Mississippi that prohibits most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Now, the landmark 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling legalized abortion in the US, and it struck down state laws that restricted the procedure. There was then a follow-up decision in 1992, a ruling that states could not place any undue burden on women seeking abortions before fetal viability. Yesterday in court, the state of Mississippi argued that those cases haunt the country and have no basis in the US Constitution. The conservative justices on the court, who remember, are in the majority now, they appeared to signal that they would uphold the Mississippi abortion ban. At least 21 US states are ready, and they're getting ready to bring in more restrictive abortion laws depending on the outcome of this case. The court is expected to issue its ruling in June. Now, outside the US Supreme Court yesterday, there were hundreds of protesters from both sides of the abortion debate, and we spoke with some of them.
I've been able to access reproductive health services over the course of my life, and because of that, I've been able to pursue my dreams. And I think every woman, every girl, every person who has the possibility of becoming pregnant should have that same right.
I am rooting for the side of life, for human life, babies in utero, fully born, fully human, fully alive.
The other side of the protest movement here would, of course, have the opposite view to yourself. They say women should have the right to choose. Yes. What do you say to that?
I say, let's talk about what we're choosing. What is that choice? That choice is to end a human life. There is no two ways about it.
I think it's absolutely absurd that the Supreme Court was packed with conservative justices under Trump's presidency, and although not surprising, but I am worried. I mean, this is pretty scary stuff out here.
The right to choose, sure, that's a good thing, but we're also dealing with a separate human life here that is being ended by this decision, and so the right to choose does not extend to ending another life, so I don't think that really makes any sense.
Campaigners on abortion outside the US Supreme Court with our correspondent there, Brian O'Donovan.